Welcome, everyone. We are so glad you could join us today here and online. And we are so glad to have your children back with us. This weekend, we are wrapping up our current sermon series, Moving Forward. As we continue our adventure into this new year, we are following Paul's admonition to forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead. We started this series with moving forward with gathering, and we are coming together again with one another as a church family to worship and to praise the Lord and to encourage one another. I look forward to this every weekend now more than I have for a long time, haven't you? Then we looked at the need to move forward with outreach. We are gathering to scatter, to gather again and again and again. During this time of pandemic, God has opened many new doors of outreach. And now, he is reopening some old doors as well. We're not driving through, we're dining out. What we shut down, he is opening up. And every open door is an opportunity to take the good news of the gospel of Christ back into our community. And so this morning, if we are really serious, we dare not even think about moving forward unless we are ready to move forward in prayer. The dictionary defines prayer as, one, an act of communion with God. Not just communication. Communion, a common union. It's what we share every week when we come together around the Lord's table and have communion. We have, no matter our backgrounds, no matter our stations in life, no matter anything, in time of communion, we are sharing a common union, for we have been united in the blood of Christ. And communion reminds us of that common union. And the dictionary says prayer is another common union with you and God. Or a second definition, it says, is an act or instance of sharing. But it's the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially, it says, when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level. Hey, how are you doing today? Good to see you. Is not an intimate sharing of feelings and intimacy. It's a time of being intimate. So the third definition the dictionary gives is an intimate fellowship or rapport. It's a relationship. A relationship of recognition and acceptance of one another and the value of both. Please never forget that while the devil wants to destroy us and everything we are doing for the Lord, God wants to bring us closer to him. Prayer is our way to be intimate with God, to share things, feelings, ideas, hurts, complaints with God that we would never share with anyone else. Prayer is our tool to win the battles with Satan and the struggles in life. Prayer gives us the strength and the faith to finish the race victorious. Here are some amazing facts about prayer. Number one, it's one thing that everyone can do. Everyone. Literally everyone. Everyone here, everyone joining us online, everyone who will watch us on video later in the week. Everyone can pray. Young and old, men and women, rich and poor, healthy and ill, overworked and unemployed, PhDs and grade school dropouts, new Christians and longtime Christ followers, everyone can pray. Even you can pray. Another interesting fact about prayer is that we can pray anywhere, anytime. No appointment needed. Prayer is not reserved for the weekends at the church house, nor is it meant only for meals or nighttime, bedtime, when you're tucking your children into bed for sleep. Prayer can and should be the first part of our waking up, right along with the Folgers in your cup. You can pray on that commute to work. But as Mike Tilford likes to say, you probably ought not bow your head and close your eyes if you do. Parents, you can pray as you send your kids off to school. Let me assure you, our kids need prayer when they go to school. Students, you can pray before you enter the school doors. And here's a big one. You can pray before you turn on the TV or the computer. You can pray morning, noon, and night. You can pray every minute of every day, or as the Bible says it, you can pray continuously. You can pray in the woods or on a cruise ship. You can pray while fishing or while playing golf. Now, admittedly, those may be two very different prayers. You can pray while you're mowing the grass or washing the car. You can pray alone, or you can pray with others. You can pray anytime, anywhere. And another interesting fact about prayer, you can pray for anyone and about anything. You can talk to God about anyone and anything. Your family? Yes, of course. Your work and your co-workers, your classes and your classmates, your teachers and your preachers, your friends and those who persecute you. You can pray for your teammates and for your opponents. You can pray for your country and for your church. You can even pray for yourself. Just be sure your prayers are moments of intimacy, sharing with God or exchanging those intimate thoughts and feelings, being real and authentic on a spiritual level with God. In Jerusalem, a journalist heard about a very old Jewish man who had been going to the Wailing Wall to pray twice a day, every day, for a very long, long time. So, the journalist thought he ought to check it out. Sure enough, when he went to the Wailing Wall, there he was. He watched him pray. And after about 45 minutes, as the man turned to leave, the journalist approached him for an interview. The reporter introduced himself. "Excuse me, sir. I'm Joe Smith from CNN, and I'd like to ask you a few questions, if you don't mind." The old man said he didn't mind at all. "Sir, how long have you been coming to the wall and praying?" He said, "Oh, I'd say for about 60 years. The journalist was kind of shocked and said, "60 years? That's amazing. What do you pray for?" And the old Jewish man said, "I pray for peace between Christians and Jews and the Muslims. I pray for all the hatred to stop. I pray for all our children to grow up in safety and friendship." And the reporter followed up by asking, "How do you feel after praying like that for 60 years? And he said, "Like I'm talking to a wall." Think about it. As we move forward, as individuals as well as a church, we must all move forward in prayer, an intimate time of common union with God. We must be intimate every step of the way. Allow me briefly to take you on a quick prayer journey through the first few chapters of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. As the resurrected Jesus has ascended into heaven, the apostles were given the assignment of being his witnesses to the whole world about everything concerning Jesus. And then they returned to Jerusalem, it says, and they gathered with the believers there. And verse 14 says, they all joined together constantly in prayer. And then, like we are about to do today, they nominated, they prayed some more, and chose leadership to help get them ready to move forward into this new adventure of taking the gospel to the world. In Acts chapter 2, they took to the streets, and Peter preached the first Christian message ever preached about a risen Savior. About 3,000 responded to the invitation that day to repent and be baptized, and the church began its outreach with the gospel, and then they gathered together again, where chapter 2, verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They continued, it says, to gather every day. And the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. Acts chapter number 3. The preaching and the healings and the signs and the wonders continue. And a miracle so big and so public took place that it got everyone's attention. In the middle of the afternoon, Peter and John, along with many others, everyone was doing this in the middle of the afternoon. It was 3 o'clock. It was that time of day. Everybody was going to the temple to pray. But along the way, they met a 40-year-old man who was lame from birth. He was begging for money, as he had always done. And then, well, let's read it from the scriptures. Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 3. When he, that is the beggar, saw Peter and John about to enter the temple to pray, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. They took time, they paid attention, and they wanted this man to pay attention too, because then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. But then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And in taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And I love this depiction of what happens. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Can you imagine 40 years old, born lame, unable to stand on your own, let alone walk, having been carried to the temple doors every day to beg for money, and now you could walk? Yes, I'd jump too. I'd praise the Lord too. Now look. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. In other words, as we said, that caught everybody's attention. So Peter seized the moment and began teaching some more about Jesus. And then Acts chapter number 4, the trouble begins. Seems not everyone agrees with the work of the church. Not everyone likes it when the church takes God seriously. The priests and the Sadducees, now they are the ones who don't believe in the resurrection from the dead. You can remember the difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees like this. The Sadducees are sad, you see, because they don't believe in the resurrection. And the Pharisees are, well, fair, you see, because at least they believe in the resurrection from the dead. The priests and the Sadducees bring the captain of the temple guard up to Peter and John right in the middle of class time while he's teaching. And let me tell you, when they got there, they were ticked off. Because, as verse 2 puts it, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. How disturbed were they? Well, Peter and John get thrown into jail for it, while the priests and the Sadducees have a meeting to decide what to do. Verse 17 tells us they have an agenda. And that agenda is, verse 17, to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people. Finally, they conclude their best road of action would be to threaten them and to command them not to speak at all, not to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But you have to love Peter and John's response. Verse 19 says, but, how many of you knew there was a but coming? But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes? What's right in the community's eyes? What's right in the majority's eyes? What's right in the governor's eyes? What's right? No, what's right in God's eyes to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help but speaking about what we have seen and heard. But you know what I find the most interesting in this line of Scripture? It's what happened to the church as a result of it. Look at verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. They gathered together with other believers again and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they, the church, the believers, those who were gathered together, heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. In spite of what was happening, or perhaps because of it, they moved forward in prayer. And their prayer lives were so powerful. Verse 31 says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Whoa, wait a minute now. The chief priests and the Pharisees, the elders, had a dilemma when these two men were upsetting everything. What are they going to do now that all the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit? Now that all of the believers were speaking boldly about God. These believers chose to lift their voices in prayer to God. Their thoughts and actions were God-centered. What is right in God's eyes is what everyone considered. There was no complaint in their prayer about their situation. They weren't vengeful, nor did they even ask the Lord for some relief. Not even one among them was worried about their lives or their job security or their family or their children. Instead, they prayed to their sovereign God and turned everything over to Him. How could they pray like that? Do you see our video? Because when they prayed, they trusted God. And because they only wanted to glorify God. The early church truly loved Jesus and wanted to do what was right in God's eyes. And praise the Lord, God did not hesitate to answer their genuine God-centered prayers. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all spoke the word of God boldly. It's as if so much power came into that room, it made the whole place shake. It's as if God Himself was eager and excited to answer their prayer. And when He did answer their prayers, they did not just sit back and bask in God's blessings. They went out and did exactly what God wanted them to do. They went out and began to speak the word of God to everyone boldly. And as you continue through the book of Acts, then they come back together again, and they strengthen each other, and they pray together again. Then they go back out to come back in again and again. It's so encouraging to me that in spite of the difficulty of their current situation and the dangers they were yet to face, that they were still able and willing to boldly proclaim the gospel in the power of God's Spirit. It is only the Holy Spirit who can enable us to overcome the obstacles of fear and doubt and worry and anxiety that often hinders us from sharing the gospel boldly. It's only by trusting our lives to the authority of the Lord that we can rise to God's calling in our life. And it is only through prayer we can get to know Him that well. But when we do, we often discover that God's blessings are much greater than anything we could ever imagine. The early church knew this by experience. Prayer brought them together. They were united in prayer. They moved forward in prayer, and they overcame. And that is why the church today must move forward in prayer. Well, I'd like to tell you things were all better now, but the church was not trouble-free after that. As the book of Acts continues, we're now in chapter 5. The apostles are still healing and teaching, and many more are believing their message and are being added to the church. So once again, beginning in chapter 5, verse 17, the high priest and all his associates, can you guess who they were? Yeah, the Sadducees. They are arresting the apostles again. Now, not just Peter and John this time, all the apostles. And they put them in public jail. Not back here in some hidden cell while we meet and decide what we're going to do. It's public jail. We're making a public statement to you. You see what's happening to your preacher, to your elders, to your ministry leaders, to your Sunday school teachers, to your nursery. This is what's going to happen to you. Public. They thought. But God is right there with them. And God is the one in control of the situation. It says that He sent an angel that night to open the prison doors, and the angel brought the apostles out and told them, go tell the people all about this new life. Well, now wait a minute. Let's think about this new life they've gotten. They were fishermen, most of them. They made a decent living, had their families, things were okay. Then they gave their life in full, total, 100%, all in surrender to Jesus. And now look at this new life. We're in prison again. We're being threatened. We're being commanded. We're being told how to live our lives. But you go tell the people all about this new life. It gets better. The next morning, a meeting is called of all the religious know-it-alls, and they sent to the jail for the apostles to be brought out before them for their whatever. But look how this works out. Acts chapter 5, verse 22. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Ooh. On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. And then, to kick a man while he's down, someone came in and said, "Hey, look, guys, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." Oh, yay. So they sent the guards to bring the apostles back before the Sanhedrin. And the high priest said, we're still in chapter 5, verse 28 now, "We gave you strict orders. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than man." And verse 33 says, "This made them so furious, they wanted to kill them." Literally, they wanted to put them to death. Remember, their agenda is to stop this thing now so it doesn't go any further. Now, how's that for the next episode of this new life? Now they want to kill you. Well, thank goodness someone with some common sense prevails. A Pharisee among them named Gamaliel stands up, kind of takes over the meeting for a moment. He was a teacher of the law. He was honored by all the people. And he said, "Whoa, let's take a breath here real quick before we get into something we're going to regret. Let's take a breath before we get too carried away here. Remember, they're ready to kill these guys. Whoa, take a breath." And here is why the church and why you and I needs to make sure we move forward in prayer, seeking God's direction and looking to do what is right in His eyes, and never try to move forward in our own plans and our own strength. Because if God is not in it, it will fail. He suggested, the word says he ordered the apostles to be taken outside. "You guys calm down. Somebody get these guys out of here for a moment. Just get them out of here." And then verse 35 picks it up right there. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin. "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men. Don't you remember? Come on. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. But he was killed, his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. Verse 37, after him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. And he too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Jesus has come along, and guys, he's dead. His followers will soon scatter as well. So he says, verse 38, therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. And underline, highlight, boldface this next sentence. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But, how many of you saw another but coming? But, if it is from God, you won't be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to take on the devil in this life, I'd rather see the devil fighting God than fighting me. But did you catch that? If our purpose or activity is of human origin, if we are pursuing what we think, what we feel, what we want, we will fail. But oh, how we should cherish the words of Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? A few verses later in Romans 8:37, the assurance that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. It has been said, when we work, we work. When we pray, God works. That makes me want to say with Moses, as we move into 2021, if God does not go with us, I don't want to go. After freeing Israel from Egyptian oppression and then leading them around in the desert, Moses is growing both old and weary. And so he reminds God, these are your people. These are your people. And God assures Moses with these words, recorded in Exodus chapter 33. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us up from this place. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you. MCC, as we move forward in 2021, may God be that pleased with us. Let me close by saying one more thing about moving forward in prayer. If we're going to pray, we must pray believing. Or we're just spitting in the wind. As he opens his letter, James says, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So, here's our takeaway. In 2021, as a church and as individuals, let's move forward in prayer. Let's not just talk about prayer. Let's not just have seminars on prayer and read books about prayer or listen to great sermons on prayer. Let's pray. Because we serve a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. Amen. He is eager to hear from us. He is eager to answer our prayers. And because the souls of men and women hang in the balance, let's move forward in prayer. Father God, this morning, we're not just closing a message in a prayer. We don't want to just have a prayer of benediction to say, okay, service is over, let's go home. We're coming to you in prayer to lay before you our desire as individuals and as a church to do what's right in your eyes. As we move forward into 2021 even deeper, we want to move there in a common union with you, in an intimate, close relationship with you. We want to move forward in prayer. So, Father, help us to take a moment this morning and pray. Let us just tell you what's really on our heart. For some, it may be, I need to get serious about my Christian walk. I need to quit putting off so many decisions and just be serious and accept you as my Lord and Savior, to be obedient, as to repent and to be baptized and have my sins washed away and forgiven, and a new life starting with the Holy Spirit filling my life, so that I, like the early church, may join the church today and speak boldly about God. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.